paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Got another great show for you today. First half of the show, we're going to have Dr. Andrew on. We're talking about the reliability of research. You know, quite often research flies in the face of common sense, and sometimes you have to apply common sense to really weed through what research is valid and what's not. Dr. Andrew's put a great deal of work into determining whether or not research is in fact reliable. Later in the show, we're going to have Marv Fremerman, a sports psychologist, on talking about your hidden power, psycho self-imagery. Marv has helped thousands of professional and collegiate athletes as well as business people and individuals achieve their goals through controlling what the mind does when it's idle. Okay, before we get started, got to remind everybody, Orbit Nutrition is blowing out the genomics product line. Slinsane, which is an insulin mimetic that repartitions the nutrients into muscle. Protocol, which is a pre- and intra-workout drink to help you really pound through your hardest workouts, and also Heat, which is a fat burner, all available at orbitnutrition.com. Check it out. Go to orbitnutrition.com today. Let them know Carl sent you. Okay. He's a big fan favorite. Every time he's on the show, people tune in from all over the world. Dr. Andrew, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Always a pleasure to be on Superhuman Radio.
Yes, yes. It's always a pleasure to have you, too, because you bring so much important information to the discussion. This is something that's very interesting to me. I had planned on having a fellow named Dr. John Ioannidis, who is the director of prevention research over at what school am I trying to think of now? Stanford. Stanford. Thank you. Stanford University. But no. He's done a lot of. Excuse me?
I think he's at Tufts University School in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay, well, I reached him at Stanford, but you could be right. And the beauty of what he has done is the guy has done a lot of research into the process of research, challenging it quite often. And you have taken the time to not only read through, decipher his works, but other works that would play into this to open the discussion. We place so much value on research studies. And quite often they are hard to reproduce, the results of these research studies. And years later we look back and go, wow, we were wrong. So can we trust research? What do you think?
I think we can, but we always need to know, what research we can trust and in how far we can trust it. And I would like to start with a much more simpler question. The question, interestingly, often is only posed by scientists. And this is, what is science, and what is the goal of science, and what does science do? And I would say that science basically is the human effort to understand how nature works. And in that, I would like to quote Einstein, who once said, "The whole of science is nothing more than a refinement of everyday thinking." And I think you already said that. Sometimes, even with common knowledge and common understanding, you can see that a study must be flawed, or that the results of a study do not really make sense. And what science is all about is about making hypotheses about how nature works. And if you look at what the original meaning of hypothesis, which is an original Greek word, is, that is to put under or to suppose. So what you are doing is, it's like putting one object beyond the other or under the other and look whether it fits. So you try to find hypotheses in order to make sense of the nature that is surrounding you.
Interesting, interesting. So the process of research starts with a hypothesis first. Doesn't that in and of itself kind of flaw the research, because you already have an intended outcome that you're searching for?
Exactly. You can never find anything without having an hypothesis, and you already have an idea of what you want to find. And in the sciences, you generally want to design an experiment or whatever, or an investigation, in order to prove your hypothesis wrong or right. And you cannot find, the only answers you actually can find always come down to yes or no. Even if you go ahead and want to measure the length of a certain object, then you use anything to measure whether it's longer or shorter than this object. Even if you use a standardized meter, this is just arbitrary, it's an arbitrary length, and you measure is it longer or shorter. And in the end, it will always come back to these simple yes or no questions. You can break down each and every science question. If you break it down to the most basic level, it will always come down to yes or no.
Okay, so do you think that is a good way to approach science? Yes or no? Science is much more complex than yes or no questions. I mean, answers.
Yes. It's a network of thousands and millions of yes or no questions which make up science and which make up a hypothesis as for example, thousand yes or no questions. And a theory has another thousand hypotheses that go into this theory. And taken together, this becomes so complex that we tend to think that there is more to it than just these yes or no questions. But in the end, understanding always comes back to understanding in terms of yes or no. And a very influential philosopher of science once said that science may also be described as the art of systematic oversimplification. So in fact, the basic idea is that science should make understanding of nature easier for us. But people conceive science as being more complicated. And in general, I would like to encourage everybody to try to understand science, because if this is real science, then in the end, you must somehow be able to understand it. I always try to tell my students, if you cannot explain what you have just learned in layman's terms, you cannot go home and tell your girlfriend or boyfriend about it, then it's likely that you did not really understand what I just tried to teach you.
That's an interesting observation on your part, because if you can't reduce it to a basic level of understanding, then you probably don't understand it.
Yeah, and I'm also into research in physics education, so I'm thinking about how you can teach physics effectively. And I always notice that it's much easier to do different difficult calculations than to break things down into not so abstract concepts that can be grasped by normal persons or even physics students who are not so experienced in this field.
Now, I think of science as, I believe that man, humans, we have to assign meaning to everything in life. The idea that the world is a series of random events and happenings scares most people. And so science and religion have been created by men to try to explain these things, and we feel that through explanation and understanding, we somehow have control on the destiny of our lives. So in that way, wouldn't you agree that because we set out to prove something, the result is going to be skewed immediately? And I give an example. We just recently talked about the statin drugs, that while the research was done on a very select group of people so that the outcome would be specific, the results are not playing out in the general population. People who take statin drugs continue to have heart attacks, even though they're being told that statin drugs will prevent heart attacks. So isn't it a self-fulfilling prophecy when someone sets out to prove something or disprove it? They really aren't trying to disprove it. They're trying to prove it. No one sets out to disprove their hypothesis.
Sometimes it's the case. For example, if you tell the someone from the medical orthodoxy that it would be a good idea to eat raw food or to eat a low carbohydrate diet, then they would try to disprove your hypothesis. So it doesn't really matter if you want to prove or disprove something, but you will always take measures, whether they be conscious or unconscious, that your hypothesis or your anti-hypothesis, as you might call it, will turn out to be true. So, in effect, there's always already a built-in bias in every objective or so-called objective study. And this often starts out with the data you collect. So the word data, also it's a Latin word, not a Greek word. It says, it's literally translated, it is what is given. But there is nothing given to us. Even if you just look at an object, there's always already an interpretation in it. If you look at an apple, who tells you that this is an apple and not a banana? It's already interpreted within your brain as being an apple. So even the basic data you obtain is always already interpreted. And it's also interpreted if you use a special device to measure it. This device has a built-in interpretation, you might say. And in quantum mechanics, it even became a global crisis of science when we discovered that our measurements highly influenced the measurement outcomes, so that the experiment determines, in effect, the outcome of our experiment.
Interesting. And now, what role does interpretation play in all of this? Because obviously, you can put two people in a room and have three different interpretations of an event.
Yeah, of course. And if you look back at what science always does, we have three steps. The first step is observation. And I already said that even in this step, regardless of how objective you try to be, there's always already a little subjective interpretive component. Then the second step is that from your observations you generate hypotheses. And these hypotheses are really already interpretations of what you observed and what you think the underlying principles of science could be. And then you do some experimental work, collect data, and interpret, really interpret. Now you also say that you interpret the data you found in terms that, must fulfill the condition that you get results that can that match what you observe in the respective situation. So, in essence, the question we are talking about today is not if science is false, but rather whether the implications of our interpretations of scientific data, if these are correct. And it turns out that many of these interpretations are false. And this is also the basic message that Mr. Ioannonidis is giving. And interestingly, he says that the major component of why this is false is the statistic method. And his way of proving that science is false and using all these statistics is a statistic one. And therefore, I'm quite happy to be here to discuss this topic instead of him, because I think if he used the same method of explaining why science could be false, it would be very difficult to follow, because it's the same argumentation that is intrinsically false is used to prove
to support, right.
False.
We have to take a commercial break now, but that was actually going to be a question for him had he done the show. I wanted to know, if he feels that this research process is flawed, he used the same research process to support his opinion. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up with Dr. Andro. We are discussing whether or not research is really reliable today, and should we put all of our eggs in the science basket? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe
believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Dr. Andro. We're talking about whether or not research is reliable. You know, my show started based on research. I had scientists on talking about their research. But over the years, I've started to realize that not all of the research was correct. And we put a lot of emphasis and belief into research. What's going wrong when research fails us? Okay, so Dr. Andro, what's the difference between correctness when we're trying to interpret something? There's an appropriateness and correctness when we're talking about summarizing the research data.
Well, the problem is that actually, if you look at the philosophy of science, so people thinking about science, then correctness has always been a very vague term. Correct has never been really defined. Appropriateness is what it's all about. Appropriateness means that an appropriate set of glasses would be the glasses you need to wear to see the world scientifically. So the scientific perspective can be compared to wearing a special set of glasses that makes you see things the scientific way. And these would be the appropriate glasses for the appropriate situation. So this is different from the correct glasses, because appropriateness always implies interpretation.
Okay. Now, scientists are supposed to use critical thinking skills to ascertain information, and which usually begs a specific set of questions. Don't, just by virtue of the fact that the questions are standardized, doesn't that help make the outcome more reliable?
Well, in fact, it does make the outcome more comparable, at least. So if you look at the list of different things that make scientific studies more reliable, then a greater standardization, or in other words, less flexibility, makes science more reliable. So if you have standardized methods like randomized controls or standardized meta-analysis, this should generally be more reliable. But this assumes that those standards make sense, that these are good standards. And these standards always are developed in within what is called a paradigm, that is a context with certain theories. For example, if we go back to your example with cholesterol, then a standardized paradigm would be to measure HDL cholesterol in order to say something about heart disease or heart disease risk. And this would be a standardization that would make science more comparable, but it would make it less true, or it would make it less conclusive, because now we know that LDL cholesterol by itself is not an indicator of the risk of heart disease.
What about the study size? We see study sizes where they have very, very large groups over a protracted period of time, and then we see some studies that are peer-reviewed, and they have 6, 10, maybe 20 participants in them. What about the study size yielding a greater gravity on validity?
Well, in general, of course, a greater study size yields greater validity. And you can say that, for example, larger randomized controlled trials like they are done in cardiology, there are several thousand of subjects involved, and these subjects are also randomized, and they are selected by certain criteria to represent perfectly the average human being of a certain country or something like that.
Right.
So trials are much more reliable than a trial where you just take 10 people from the street and analyze them. These are, of course, less reliable. And there's also another association. It also depends on what exactly you're looking for. If, for example, you're looking for something that's very significant, like we know that smoking increases the risk of cancer or cardiovascular disease by 3 to 20%, this is a relatively large effect size. And if you're looking for things like that, it's more likely that you are getting true or appropriate results than if you're looking for a specific gene variant that only would function if another gene is active as well, and then you deal with very small effect sizes, like beyond 1% increase in cancer risk, for example. And then it's very difficult to distinguish this even from what one might call the background noise. So you get false positives. You find, for example, that if you consume, let's say, tomatoes, you increase your cancer risk. But in fact, this was just an arbitrary effect from the way you selected the people in your study or something like that, because the effect size was from the beginning so small that it could hardly be measured at all.
There are different styles of studies. There's a term that's thrown around in the research industry, obviously called standardized methods or random double-blind placebo control studies and so on. What does this mean, and are these important? Are they better than other studies that don't utilize these techniques?
Well, generally, they are, of course, better, because especially these double-blind studies, they are important because they reduce bias. If you, as a researcher, as well as the subject, do not know if you receive the placebo or if you receive the medication, then this makes a huge difference, because everybody knows about the placebo effect, and everybody who has ever taken any supplement will notice that sometimes, for the first week, it works miraculously. Just because you imagine, now I'm stronger, now I'm harder, now I'm faster.
Right.
But after the second week, you suddenly realize, well, actually, I think this stuff does not work. The placebo effect just has ended. And therefore, standardizations like double-blind randomization. So randomization in this case means that the people, or the study subjects as well as the investigators, are randomized to the groups. All these things have been invented by scientists to reduce bias and to make science more reliable. But in effect, there are also often questionnaires, for example, standardized questionnaires are used. And even if you standardize a questionnaire rather than having an interviewer and an interview, as it is the case in some studies, you can build in mistakes into your studies by having inappropriate or, inappropriate questionnaires. For example, I know of a study that wanted to investigate the effect of meat or of meat in the diet on health. And this study was, in essence, or the hypothesis was, in essence, that eating meat is unhealthy, especially red meat. And in this study, the questionnaire comprised a question of what you had eaten in the course of the day. And if you had eaten a pizza, and the pizza was a pizza salami, then this was meat. So you count the pizza salami as eating meat this day.
Uh-huh.
And if you design a questionnaire in this way, then you can imagine that you have a standardized questionnaire. But this does not mean that your results are more reliable in terms of your hypothesis that eating meat leads, for example, to cancer or heart disease.
Lots of studies are the results of a meta-analysis, which is basically a gathering of pertinent research, reviewing it and finding common data points, and then extrapolating out and coming up with a whole new study based on that. But meta-analysis is flawed by virtue of the fact that some of the data points may be flawed because some of the research may be flawed. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's one point. That's one quite obvious point. And there's another point I consider even more important, and that is which studies do you include and which you exclude, and also which studies have not even been published. Because you always, in this meta-analysis, you do researches, for example, on PubMed. This is a database where all the medical journals list their articles, and if you are on a university account, you can access almost all studies. It's also one of my major sources. But in these databases, there are only published studies from journals and magazines. And to publish a study in a journal, you either need to already to have a name in the medical establishment, then you will be published by one of the major journals, or in some cases, you even need to pay money to become published. At least in the physics community, this is the case for many magazines, that you need to pay to have your articles published.
Okay, we have to go into a commercial break in a moment. I think I'm going to take the break early, because what I want to do when I come back is I want to talk about conflicts of interest for a moment. And how easy is it to determine when there is, in fact, a conflict of interest? We're talking today with Dr. Andro about the reliability of research. Is it reliable? You're going to have to decide at the end of this show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, 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 baby mamas, mamas.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so we're talking with Dr. Andro today about the reliability of research, which obviously many of us who have been following research and basing a lot of our own decisions on it know that quite often it's contrary. Tell me about this, Dr. Andro. You make a statement, the hotter a scientific field is, the more scientific teams that are actually involved in researching this, the less likely the research findings are to be true. That's a critical statement to make because what we find is that when something becomes hot, everybody jumps on the bandwagon.
Yeah, and I find a particularly good example of the current science is vitamin D. Everybody is jumping on this bandwagon, and we are seeing studies on a daily basis. I've given up posting new information on vitamin D on the Subversity, because if you type in vitamin D in one of those databases, you have entries for each and every day of the year where a new study is published. And this is one of these hot scientific fields where you get most impressive positive results, and everybody wants to produce the most positive result and the result that attains most attention from the public and from the scientific peers. And this is very important to understand, that while financial aspects, of course, play a fundamental role, because scientists have to make a living, and far and foremost, scientists have to finance their studies. What is more important for them personally, is the prestige. And the prestige comes from major findings, and there are these hot topics where people think they can make scientific history, and either they try to surpass each other by positive results, or they try to completely falsify the results, the positive results another scientist produced. And interestingly, it often takes more than 20 years for some consistency to come out of this kind of science. And in this case, it's quite interesting to cite what Max Planck, a famous physicist and a Nobel laureate, once said. A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it.
Ah, interesting.
So in fact, prestige and generations and the relationship between teacher and student is a very intricate one in the sciences. If you have learned at a certain university and you've been the student to a certain professor, then it's not very likely that out of a sudden you totally criticize his theories and throw everything you've learned overboard. And this is also called This is also one of the reasons that scientific change always takes place in what one philosopher of science famously called scientific revolution. Sometimes there is one decisive experiment, for example, that suddenly reveals that everything that was done before was false, or either this were studies in what is called a null field. And the null field is a part of science where you are investigating something where you actually cannot find anything because there is nothing to find. For example, I would say that the studies into the bad effects of cholesterol on heart health, this was a null field, and all the findings you made were based basically on the bias that was already built in the hypothesis you developed for your scientific research. And in this case, of course, this is not only about the prestige of the scientists who do not want to give in or to admit that they've been investigating and spending their time and the money of the investors on something that was not worth investing, but it's, of course, also about financial interests of the investors. Because you can do science only if you have somebody who finances science.
How can you tell if there is a conflict of interest? How do you know if a scientist who's publishing a study has received funds from an industry that could benefit from that research?
Well, in effect, if you ever read a scientific study, in some studies, you will find this paragraph entitled Conflicts of Interest.
Right.
Where the scientist, he himself, or the authors themselves, they cite, for example, finance the study, and in case they consider the financial aspect to propose a conflict of interest, meaning that if you are investigating, for example, a drug that is produced by a certain company and the company paid the study, then there might be a conflict of interest because it would be likely that you manufacture or produce results that are in favor of what your financial sponsor wants. And it's interesting that Gary Taubes, he investigated a related topic in 1998. He wrote an article for the New York Times, and he, among others, he interviewed an anonymous scientist, and he said, investigators who find an effect get support, and investigators who don't find an effect don't get support. When times get tough, it becomes extremely difficult for investigators to be objective. And this is only what every scientist knows, that objectivity is always a relative term.
Okay, so now let's talk about the financial side of this, the cost of research. Obviously, it's very expensive to perform research, correct?
Yeah. In the medical, it's quite interesting that it's difficult to find actual data on what medical studies cost. For example, it's not difficult to find out that the CERN, that is the Large Hadron Collider built in Switzerland, it's a physics experiment. It cost $11 billion only to build this machine, $11 billion.
Right.
And you also find data, because this must be published from the companies, how much they earn on certain blockbuster drugs. For example, the sales of Zocor, I think it's called. It's a cholesterol-lowering drug,
right,
you get. The sales are worth $4 billion per year. And then it becomes difficult to find exact data on studies. There is, for example, the Farmingham study, which is an ongoing cardiovascular study on residents of the town of Farmingham in Massachusetts.
Right.
That study has been done since 1983, and it has cost $27 million. And even if you are doing a small study, you can calculate for each participant per year, when you collect some blood data, et cetera, that each additional participant will cost you $1,000 only to collect the data. And you also have to pay for the machines, for your researchers, for everyone who is part of the project. So these studies are really, really expensive, and therefore scientists always have to find sponsors, and this makes them,
vulnerable. They're vulnerable.
Of course, they are.
Yeah, and when you take into account what you said earlier, that the larger study sizes,
you know, with 1,000 participants in order to have valid information. And when you're talking about thousands of dollars per participant, a study costs millions of dollars no matter what you do.
Of course. And if you look at what those big pharma companies do, actually do.
Continue the conversation. Dr. Andrew, we did lose power for a moment. We left you when you were talking about the big pharmaceutical companies there.
Yeah, sometimes we are all excited about how these companies are spending billions and billions of dollars into marketing, but they are also spending billions of dollars into research effectively. Because if you look at what Merck, for example, did, they did in 60 years, they tested 250,000 different chemicals. And at huge expenses. So in effect, they tested about one chemical on each working day. And in the ensuing 4 years, they synthesized and tested 4.5 million compounds. So if you just look at the sheer amount of stuff they test in order to produce a medication, then you can imagine how much this must cost them.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's pick up where try to get back on track here after losing power there for a second.
We have been talking about these conflict of interest.
Yes.
My
concern is that quite often there's a conflict of interest that doesn't show up in a paper, and I'll give you an example. There was a scientist that I tried to get on the air for Body RX Radio who did research into soy and its cardioprotective values. He did this research while he was at university as a PhD student. He was then hired by the largest soy company in the industry shortly thereafter. Quite often there's a conflict of interest, but it's invisible because no money has changed hands, no relationship even exists, but that once you hit this home run, that the industry that your research favors will open a door for you and give you a job. Do you see this more and more in research?
I don't know if you see it more and more, but it's quite common, actually. And what I already said is it's up to your judgment, that is the author's judgment, and then to the judgment of the magazine editor to decide what is a conflict of interest and what is not. And I would like to cite something from an editorial of Nature. Everybody knows Nature, one of the most famous scientific journals, and there it says, unless there is evidence that undeclared interests pose serious risk of fraud, deception, or bias, Nature will not ask authors to disclose financial interests. So in essence, Nature is one of those magazines who do not even bother to disclose financial interests.
Wow. That's amazing.
And you must also consider that many of these magazines where you do not have to pay as an author to be published, they finance themselves by advertisements from different pharma companies and other companies. And so, in essence, if it's a conflict of interest that is against one of their sponsors, then it's unlikely that their chief editor will say, oh, this is a conflict of interest. We cannot publish this study that says that the medication that is advertised in this very same issue is a bad one.
Wow, it comes back to advertising. It's just ridiculous. It really, really is. You know what? And I see it myself. When I was on terrestrial radio, I used to have a program director who would say to me, well, no, you can't talk about this because we have an advertiser on the air that sells that. Or you can't run this kind of a spot because it makes claims that we're not comfortable with. And that's why I had to get off of AM radio. That was one of the reasons. That attitude about protecting financial interests permeates every industry, and we think that research scientists are beyond reproach quite often, but the reality is that they're not. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, Dr. Andrew, I want to talk about how all of this relates back to the audience, the listener, when they're making decisions about products that are founded in research. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Andrew about the reliability of research. We will summarize in just a moment. That's how long I've been on ya. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
There's some activity on Facebook about our power outage. Storms have come through Louisville last night, and unfortunately the building that I'm in does not have power backup. We're going to have to get one for the studio, so this doesn't happen in the future. But we had power flicker. We lost our switchboard, and subsequently we lost our guest, but he's back on with us, Dr. Andro. So we want to discuss now what all of this means to the listener. How does this affect their decision-making process when they are using research to substantiate maybe a purchasing decision or a decision to use a supplement for a specific benefit?
Well, I always emphasize also on my blog and on my posts on your Facebook and wherever I post that all my advice and all the scientific articles you will find on the Subversity, take them with a grain of salt. Be a healthy skeptic. There is a blog called The Healthy Skeptic by Chris Kresser. It's an interesting blog, and I think the idea of having or being critical of what you read is very important. And sometimes even common sense is enough to decide whether this what you're reading is making sense and whether this is good information or a good source of information or not. So you must ask yourself where do I get my information from? You never go directly to a scientist and ask, or only few people of you will be able to go directly to a scientist and ask him. And then there are a few of you who might also go out and read a complete study. And I'm like complete study, I mean something like a dissertation directly published by a scientist and not a study published in a reviewed journal. So the articles you will find at the Subversity and the articles you will find in the databases, they are already peer-reviewed. That is, there is all the stuff that is in there has been accepted by someone who is part of the establishment or of some kind of establishment at least. So this is already kind of second-hand. And then you have the science articles in popular science magazines you will find often online. And this is mostly written by a journalist. And then this is at least a science journalist who has some kind of expertise, like, for example, Gary Taubes. And then you have those science news in the normal or regular newspapers, which are basically written off a news ticker, where a journalist just compiles an article. And you must be aware that exactly, or especially this information, this is third-hand information. The first information comes from Nature. This information from the Nature, not Nature the magazine, but right. The Nature, our surrounding. And this information is processed by a scientist, and this is often secondary processed by another scientist in a journal or in a press release. And then there is a newspaper journalist who writes this article you're reading. So you must be aware that this is third-hand information. And if you have ever played this game where one whispers in the ear of the other a sentence, and you repeat that over and over and time again, then suddenly you get something completely different at the end of the line. So this is something you always have to keep in mind. And then there's always the issue of getting only a certain piece of the puzzle. So you, in many circumstances, you miss the whole picture, especially if you consume this third-hand information. Because if you read a complete study or a complete dissertation, for example, then the first part or a large part of this work only summarizes all the other science or all the other scientific efforts that have been done in this field. And all this, you will miss all this if you just consume, I would say consume, the end result. And so you are missing the basic picture. And then you have this issue of press releases that come from universities and press releases that come from certain companies.
And you know, and I want to speak about press releases because it's important to understand that press releases are written to evoke an emotion. They're not designed to be scientifically based. Quite often, press releases will use a headline that gets so much attention because it panders. It panders to people's greatest fears.
Exactly, and I've thought a great example. I just typed into Google cholesterol and kills. And what I found, the first hit was from freepressrelease.com, cholesterol kills millions of USA citizens.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
That's a nice one.
And see, and this is why I come back to using common sense. This is why I always talk about practicing health history, looking back two or three generations and asking yourself why these things that we're being told today cause disease did not cause these diseases for our ancestors. When you apply that kind of critical thinking skill, that logic, then all of a sudden the research seems to be somewhat flawed. Like, gee, yeah, wait, there's more to it than just what they're saying. You know, and you do have to use common sense. You always have to use common sense. You cannot just unabashedly go, well, the research says this, so this has to be my new mantra. Yeah. I want you to speak to something else that you didn't get a chance to speak to. You put it up on Facebook, and we're going to take extra time to cover this. The study by Krimsky.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy did a study, and he actually wanted to find out exactly how it is with this bias and this conflict of interest. And he analyzed 14 magazines, and interestingly, out of these 14 magazines, only 5 had this column conflict of interest. The others did not even have it. And out of these 5 magazines, he analyzed all the articles in particular years, and he found that he analyzed for lead authors. This is the person who's the main author of the study and other authors. But I thought the most important information is the information about the lead authors. And he found that of these lead authors, 20% had a membership on a scientific advisory board of a company, and 22% the inventor on a patent or had a patent application that was somehow related to the publication. And at least 7% were officer, director, or major shareholder in a for-profit corporation, so not a non-profit corporation, involved in commercial activities related to the scientist's field of expertise. And interestingly, no of the studies that Krinsky investigated had any conflict of interest listed, at least referring to these lead authors.
So,
and isn't it revealing?
The summary of this has to be that you cannot blindly trust research any longer. You cannot blindly trust research. You know, I am personally moving further and further away from research being the empirical force in my decisions about what I eat and what I do for my body. I am looking at research as a supposition. And nothing works better than applying these things yourself and seeing if they work or they don't work. That really comes down to it. Now, you will find some research plays out to be authentic. You will. You know, the research that's been done on anabolic steroids building muscle, clearly, you know, you see patients who have muscle wasting disease take oxandrolone and boom, they start to grow again. These types of things are reproducible. Every time they do this, they reproduce the results. But these individual studies which show promise, but then are never reproduced, these are the ones you must abandon. Because even a clock, even a broken wristwatch is correct twice a day. You know, it's just this statistical, what's the word I'm looking for? Randomness of things sometimes that these things happen. You cannot trust these really, really blatantly, what's the word I'm looking for? The obviously unique results that propose things. You have to question them. And I also like something else that you said in your notes to me. Instead of chasing statistical significance, return to trying to make sense of things. And you even say this applies to when people read articles on your blog, which is a fantastic blog for anyone who's never been there. It is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com. Some of the most well thought out articles where Dr. Andrew actually does his best to dissect the information, interpret it in an unbiased way and put it out there. Quite often it may be contrary to what the common theme is at that moment. But he tries to do it. But even you say to the reader, even apply this approach of critical thinking, even to the things that they read on your website.
Yeah, and sometimes it makes me afraid when I get emails from users and from people on Facebook who ask me questions or ask me for advice, because I notice that they have this image of the scientist. I am a scientist, and they think the scientists, these are the gods, they are somehow godlike, and they know exactly what they are doing, and they are better human beings. But in fact, the scientist is a human being and fallible like every other human being. And if you understand that, and if you approach a scientist like that, then you can listen to his advice. But by listen, I mean not do exactly what he tells you, but then listen to what he says to you, think about it, and think if that makes sense, and if this really could be a good thing for you to do.
You know, it's funny you say that, because for many years now, I've been telling people to question their physicians. When your physician tells you, this is what's wrong with you, this is what you must do, you should always say, you know what, I'd like to think about that. I'd like to do some research on my own. Usually this will really piss your physician off. But you have to remember that physicians, like scientists, like mechanics, like bakers, like candlestick makers, no one is born with any special set of attributes that makes them a better choice for that job. And more than anything else, no one is born with truly altruistic values in this world. Everybody is motivated by something. Quite often, it is the pursuit of happiness. Happiness quite often has to do with monetary gains. And once you start using those value systems, everything is up for grabs. Everything. I don't care who it is, the mechanic, the doctor, the scientist, they will all do the things that are in their best interest first and foremost. That's just the way it is. That's life. That's you and me as well. So research should be a starting point. It should be a starting point for your research. And people need to take responsibility for their own decisions. Instead of asking other people, what should I do?
Yeah.
When you should ask other people, what is it that you're doing? And now let me look at that and apply it and see if it works for me. And if it doesn't fit for me, then I'm not doing that. That's it. That's the end of the story.
Well, in the end, it comes back with what you said at the very beginning of the show, that man invented science to make the world more secure because he could predict things and to make it easier for him. And in a way, the modern people, they rely so much on us scientists, I say us scientists because I'm one of them, that they like to rely on us because they can give up the responsibility. In, let's say, 10 years, those people who have become sick of their low-fat diets, they would tell me, well, my doctor said a low-fat diet is what I shall do. So it's not my mistake. And then, especially in the U.S., they will go and take their doctors to court, or try to take their doctors to court, because it was not their responsibility. They've been told by their doctors to eat this way.
You know, it's very important what you just said, because that is a critical aspect of the average person today. The average person wants to relinquish control of their own fate. This is why it is so popular to believe in genetics, because when you have a person who has rheumatoid arthritis and they're suffering, and you say to them, you know, you could avoid the progression of that disease by taking these lifestyle steps, they'll buck back at you. No, it can't be. This is my fate. No, it's not your fate. It's not. And this is a problem I have with religious theocracies as well. This implication that it's written in a book in the sky, so it shall be. Baloney. People have to take responsibility for their own health. They have to take responsibility for their own outcomes. No one really wants to do that, because that's a pretty big burden. Because then you know, if things don't go right, it was your fault. But
yeah.
I look at it a different way. I have the opportunity to make things to go right. They're in my hands.
They are, yeah. And this is why I say you do not need to rant, because ranting is only necessary when you cannot change things. At least this type of rant that are helpless in a way.
I enjoy
a good thing to raise awareness, and therefore I would say that maybe this Friday you can have a small rant or a positive rant.
Yes. It's hard for me to have a positive rant, because I rant about the things that I'm most upset about that anger me, unfortunately.
Exactly.
And really, I think I rant for myself more than I do for the audience. I rant because it's an outlet for me, because I'm frustrated. I look at this stuff every day, day in and day out. I realize how many people are dying unnecessarily because of the foods they put in their mouth. I look at this nation as a nation in trouble, with a government that doesn't care, a government who is on the side of the largest conglomerate companies who are poisoning our people, and the government doesn't care. And if people have this same attitude about government that they do about scientists and preachers and everything else, that, oh, well, it's a politician, they have some special set of values that I don't have, otherwise they wouldn't have made it into that position.
Yeah.
So I trust them, and that's baloney.
Yeah. I want to make a point on this one, and maybe this is an interesting end note, because
yes.
Relying on the politicians, this in America at least, it means also relying on the FDA, who's supposed to protect you. And I found a very interesting quote, which is an exact opposite to what we said before, that scientists and pharma companies like to overemphasize their results and make spectacular claims. And Robert Temple, who is the director of the Office of Medical Policy of the FDA Center for Drug Evaluation, he says, "My general rule is, if the relative risk is not at least 3 or 4, forget it. And a relative risk of 3 or 4 means the risk is 3 times higher. For example, the risk of cancer is 3 times higher or 4 times higher." And this director of the Office of Medical Policy of the FDA Center for Drug Evaluation, this guy says, if the risk is not 3 or 4 times higher, then I will do nothing. I will forget about it.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Dr. Andrew, we've come to the end of the interview. Once again, a fantastic preparation for this interview. You can learn more about Dr. Andrew by going to Supversity, supversity.blogspot.com. Fantastic, fantastic place. Every day you should go there and read the articles. I want to thank you again for all the work that you've done, Dr. Andrew.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Always pleasure to be on SHR and to help your listeners to become educated in different topics and to find their way, their own way through life, not to listen to any gurus or experts or scientists.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much, Dr. Andrew. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Marv Fremerman on, and we're going to be talking about the hidden powers within you. You have them. Marv is going to tell you how to unleash them. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. Can see eye drops. The name says it all.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Hello, boys and girls. My name is Fat Lip, and this is my friend Sammy the Salmon.
What to do?
Today, we're going to teach you some fun facts about salmon and a brand new day.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Back in 2006, I had Marv Fremerman on the show talking about the power of visualization, how it enhances performance and life in general. I replayed that show recently and received about a half a dozen emails from people saying, hey, have Marv back on the show. Well, guess what? Marv is back on the show, and today we're talking about some new research that he's involved in. Your hidden powers, psycho self-imagery. How you doing, Marv Fremerman?
Okay, Carl, nice to talk with you again.
Pleasure, pleasure. And thanks so much for making time to come on the show. I know you're actually in the process of traveling south right now, aren't you?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
That's okay. I always enjoy talking with you.
Cool, cool. All right, so, Marv, you've really spent a career, a lifetime, involved in helping people become the best that they could become, whether it was in athleticism or in business or just in life in general, by focusing on something that is very, very overlooked, and that is the power that we have inside us in our mind and spirit. What? I've never asked you this question. How did you first get involved in this?
Well, I was involved in an experiential training program about 25 years ago, and at the time I was playing handball, and all of a sudden my handball game got very good, and so I did real well in a tournament in Baltimore, and I came back to Kansas City where I was living, and I went to the coach of the local UMKC basketball team there. They had just gone Division I, and they had won 3 and lost 15. And I said, Coach, why don't you let me take these guys in the room and do this training with them that I did on myself? And he said, I've got nothing to lose. Go ahead. So I took them in the room, and it was just them and me, and that was it. And we sat around for about 4 hours in a support group, and, you know, put all the chairs in a circle. There were 12 of them. And we talked about problems and issues in our personal lives and issues they had with coaches, the issues they had with each other, issues that, you know, some of them had issues that from their childhood they didn't even want to discuss with their teammates, and they asked me to take them to lunch, you know, 3 of them from Texas, 3 ball players. But then after we cleared the air out, you know, they got some things off their chest, I introduced them to visualization, and they won 8 out of their next 10 games, and the coach thought it's because he hadn't changed his underwear.
So. Oh, God, that's terrible.
But I kind of opened the door that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that visualization, what I found is visualization is ineffective if you're burdened down with baggage and issues, you know. And a lot of the best-selling books out today will say, well, yeah, all you have to do is believe it and see it and it'll happen. But it doesn't work that way. You know,
and you know what the nice thing about those books is, Marv? When it doesn't work, the authors will say, well, you didn't make the connection. You didn't make the connection where it was real to you, you know?
Right. I know what you mean. But the basic problem is you've got to be unencumbered with baggage and issues. You can't just start visualizing because it's not going to work. And, you know, a lot of books are sold giving people what I call a quick fix. You know, they don't have to really look at issues in their lives. And you always see people, you know, who've seen, like, a lot of athletes, once they go through therapy with a counselor, their game elevates to a new level because they've unloaded a lot of stuff, you know.
You know, I'll tell you, I understand this. I actually had this experience last year. I mean, my life changed for me. I went through a terrible, terrible divorce. I was down in the dumps. I felt like my life was effectively over, that I had nothing to look forward to any longer. And then all of a sudden, I just had this change of heart. And we'll talk about it later because I don't want to give away much of the story. But and I'll tell you something. When you let go of some of the problems, I call it noise in your head. When you carry all these little things around, you may not realize you're thinking about them, but they have like nanoseconds where they pop up and impede what you're about to do, what you're thinking of. They distract you. And it's not even a whole thought. It's almost a chemical reaction, like an emotion that is linked to that thought, where you don't even have to think the whole thought for your body to feel that feeling again. And it becomes noise in your head where it's constantly distracting you. It's this almost like underlying hum.
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
you're right.
And the epiphany for me was forgiveness first. And I'm not a religious person at all, but forgiveness for myself. I was like, okay, I'm a human being. I made mistakes. I screwed up. So what am I going to do? Am I going to beat myself to death for the rest of my life? You know. And with forgiveness, a lot of that stuff went away for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also by going through a divorce, you resolve a major negative issue in your life. You know, I mean, you can't be happy, you can't be successful at anything if there's turmoil in your personal life. You know, you have to resolve that.
Yes.
One or the other.
Yes.
And so that's very important. And I'll tell you where you are now in your life. I don't know if you've got a girlfriend or anything.
I do.
Well, see, that has the opposite effect. I mean, that will, if you look at a lot of athletes when they perform, if they have girlfriends or whatever, you know, it really enhances their own feelings of self-worth and enhances their performance.
And she came to me when I started to utilize gratification, the emotion of gratification. And I know a lot, you know, I couldn't get with gratification back in the day when people would say, well, you got to find things to be grateful for. And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, what am I supposed to be grateful for? Alimony, you know, no, you know,
yeah.
but all of a sudden, I started to replace all the negative feelings with feelings of like, well, things are going well for me. This is great. And then I started to apply a modicum of magical thinking, not too much where I would become, you know, perhaps off center, but a magical thinking in the aspect of, you know, it happens for other people. Why can't it happen for me? Things are going to turn around. And I started to believe that. And the energy that I got, I don't mean the energy that I was attracting from the universe, which I believe in, but the energy in my the way I walked changed. The way I spoke changed. And all of a sudden I felt lighter and I felt more capable. And that begot opportunities for me.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. That's right. And, you know, your life began to be in harmony, you know. I mean, when your life's in harmony, why, then good things happen to you. When your life's in disharmony, bad things happen to you. It's really pretty simple. I mean, religions have been based upon this, you know, for thousands and thousands of years. But it's really true. If you this psycho self-imagery program that I developed, it's basically, and somebody compared it, a lot of it, what I have was with the Old Testament, unbeknownst to me, because I'm not a biblical scholar or anything, but the process involves resolving conflict in your life, not suppressing your feelings and bringing personal and issues to completion, and being highly spiritual and having your life in harmony, and then visualizing yourself being successful and actually making positive things happen in your life. And but when you have conflict in your life, you know, when you're suppressing your feelings, when you have personal and issues that you haven't brought to completion, and when your life is in disharmony, you actually create negative events in your life. So you're absolutely right. With, you know, by going through the divorce, kind of opened the gate for you to get a more positive outlook on life. And I'm sure your girlfriend has a very positive effect on you, you know, which is good.
Yeah, she does, actually. And she came about with all of, in other words, I met her. I'd like to think that I attracted her, you know, through the universe, because I want to believe that there is a higher power. I feel like humans, we could talk about this later, but I did meet her at the high point of me realizing that I could manifest happiness, and with happiness, good things would come to me. And she was one of the things that ended up coming to me, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And, you know, here, I'll give you kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of along the same lines. I had a coach that I worked with, and he and I had met, and I sent him some ideas, and then I didn't hear from him for a while, and then I sent him a note, and I mentioned one player that he had on the team, and I said, you know, if you're going to win some games, this player needs to visualize himself getting 15 rebounds a game. This particular player is almost 7 feet tall. And I didn't hear from him, and one day I get a phone call. About 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from a lawyer in Tulsa, who is, he tells me his name, and he is this player's father. And he said, I wonder if you would mind working with my son. And I said, no, I'd be happy to. And I said, where'd you get my name? And I figured he's going to say, well, I went to the coach, and the coach recommended you. But you know what he told me?
Why?
He said, I was surfing the internet, and I came across your name. And here I had just sent his son's name to the coach, you know, what he needed to do. And it was like the universe was working, you know, to bring us together. It was really weird.
I find, and we have to go into a commercial break in just a moment. I find that there are two ways to go through life. You can go through life fighting against the undertow, constantly trying to pull yourself off the ground, just using all of your energy just to stand. Or you can go through life riding the waves, catching them at the right time and letting them propel you. And what I learned in my own personal journey is when I feel myself trying to quote unquote force things to happen, I stop. And I go, you know what? I'm just going to let things happen. Maybe this isn't what's supposed to happen. Maybe there's something bigger that's supposed to happen. I'm going to stop pushing this thing. We as humans, we get locked into what I like to call becoming salmon. We're going to swim upstream. If it kills us, we don't care. You know?
Right.
And it's important to kind of ride the wave and let things happen. And all of a sudden you see things start to unfold. Would you agree with that statement, Marv?
Well, absolutely. In fact, we can talk about this when we come back from the commercial, but there's a theory called the theory of paradoxical intentions, which is basically the more you push, 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 push for something to happen, the less likely it's going to happen. But then when you back off and say, the heck with it, I don't care if it happens or not, bingo, it happens.
How many women have tried to get pregnant and couldn't? They adopt, and then as soon as they adopt, they get pregnant, because what happens? They give up on trying to get pregnant, right?
Exactly right. That's
okay.
Right.
All right, sit tight. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up with Marv Fremiman. We'll be right back. Finally, a bull mind supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bull mind natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bull mind natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
Okay, so Marv, let's pick it up. You were talking about this paradox. Let's discuss that.
Yeah, the theory of paradoxical intentions is when you push and push and push for something to happen, and then you back off and you say, you know, the heck of this is never going to happen. I'm moving on. And as soon as you make that decision, these forces take over. And all of a sudden, and this is in personal relationships, it's in, like, if you're looking for a job, you see it, you know, people who hunt, who white-tailed deer hunters, mm-hmm. have told me they get up in their hunting stand in a
right.
tree.
Tree stand, right.
Yeah, and they're looking for a deer, you know, or for the whitetails, and the deer never show up, and they finally decide, the heck with it, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the outdoors, I might even take a nap, and they wake up, and there are 2 big bucks under their tree, you know.
Right. Right.
Or they're walking back to their truck and they unload their weapon, and all of a sudden, as soon as they unload their weapon, because they've decided they're not going to hunt anymore, here comes a buck 30 yards in front of them and stands out, you know, walks right up on the road in front of them.
And I killed over and over again.
I killed a black bear in the Adirondacks.
Oh my gosh!
I was in my twenties. I don't hunt anymore. But
yeah, I don't.
I was, and a similar situation. I was up there for two and a half days. Saw nothing. It was the last day. I was frustrated. I thought, the hell with it. I'm getting out of here early. It was a long ride all the way back to the city. I put my gun down to urinate. You never urinate in the woods because the animals can smell the scent and it scares them away. But I thought, I'm not going to see anything. And while I was urinating, a black bear walked up and I shot it. I ended up shooting it with my handgun. I had a Ruger Super Blackhawk on my hip, luckily, and that's what I got it with. But I had already given up. And I was urinating, which should have scared any animal away at that point in time.
You know, I had a similar story. I was in Alaska, and I had gone out fishing with a couple of guys who I didn't know. And at those days, I was smoking cigars, you know, and we were hunting, we were fishing. We fished for salmon, and then we were fishing for halibut. You know, these halibuts are pretty big. And there were four rods on this boat, and they also had an outdoor potty on there. And I was sitting on the potty smoking a cigar because I figured, you know, what's going to happen? I mean, nothing. And all of a sudden, my rod starts bending.
Yeah.
And I get, jump up and run over, and I pulled it. It was like a 115-pound halibut.
Wow.
And right after I did that, these two guys, and I had told them about this theory of paradoxical intentions, and right afterwards they both came over to me, and they said, do you have any more cigars?
Ah, that's funny. We're going to stop fishing now so we can catch something. Okay, so Marv, where does somebody start? First of all, how do you release the negativity? If you're in a doldrum in your life, you feel like life has got you, pulling you down.
Right.
What's the first step to just releasing?
Well, the first step, you know, is to get some help from, you know, I would suggest counseling. There are good counselors and not so good counselors. I've had counselors that have told some of my clients, they say, you know, they say it's going to take 2.5 years to get to your problems. I'm thinking, well, they must be putting a room addition on or something. You know?
Right.
Nobody knows how long it's going to take, but if you can get a good counselor, I've been through therapy for 6 years. I went through two bad marriages and realized my present wife and I had been married 30 years, but, you know, I went through some bad periods of time, and I had a counselor. I was very fortunate, and he really helped me a lot to look at myself. And a lot of people, you know, don't want to look at themselves. They don't want to go to counselors, but I highly recommend a good, you know, a good effective counselor. Then that's the first step, and then starting to be aware of a lot of the issues you have in your life that you've carried around since you've been very young, you know. But once you get those issues and resolve them or begin the process of resolving them and you begin to feel better about yourself, then good things will start happening to you.
What about tapping into the power within? Are there steps to take to start to ride the wave as opposed to push yourself against the stream?
Well, you know, if you don't repress your feelings, you know, withholding or repressing is a major that can affect your health. I think we may have talked about that last time.
Right.
About how withholding is a form of lying that demeans you and lowers your self-esteem, and it creates baggage that affects your ability to focus and process information. But with cancer patients, they found that people who withhold, you know, who keep their feelings and emotions bottled up, there's a high frequency of people who withhold and people who have been diagnosed with illness. And the reason for that, what I've come up with anyways, is that, and I used to work with cancer patients in Kansas City, but the reason for that is when you withhold and you lower your self-esteem, you begin to see everything around you from a negative perspective. The phrase is, we see things as we are. And when you see things from a negative perspective, you create stress that affects your immune system. You know, your body gives off hormones that suppress your immune system, and these cancer cells in your body, this is called the surveillance mechanism theory, by the way, these cancer cells start to multiply at a rate faster than your immune system can chew them up and, you know, Pac-Man style devour them.
Right.
So there is a correlation, you know, between withholding, keeping things bottled up, which, you know, a lot of times I work with kids, you know, and the parents will say, what's the most important thing you can tell my son or daughter? And I'll say, don't bottle up your feelings. They'll turn to their kid and they'll say, see, didn't I tell you?
what about, you know, Dr., what was his name? David Hawkins, I want to say. Dr. Hawkins. He's the guy who did all that physiological testing with using the power of intention. He had people put themselves in a state of anger, of distress, of love, and all these different. I think he tested like 40 different emotional moments in time, if you will, and looked biologically at people, at their strength and their physical stature, and found out that, you know, there's a harmonic, a vibration, as you put, that a frequency that occurs when you have these different feelings. What about the fact, just putting yourself into a situation, finding something or someone to love and finding time to love every day as a therapeutic?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the most powerful ways to get well fast, is to find someone. You see this all the time. You know, somebody, a man is going through a bad period in life, and he meets this woman, and all of a sudden she has this very powerful effect on him because she's providing him with unconditional love, you know. And he goes through a complete transformation, you know, because of her. And she, opposite, it works the opposite way too, but you see it very, very common with women, you know, changing, helping men change their lives because they, for the first time, or maybe sometimes in their lives, why, may not be the first time, but they all of a sudden they have this unconditional love, and it's just has a very powerful effect on them.
Let's talk a little bit about luck.
Okay.
A lot of people, you know, what we're talking about right now, some people call it, you know, being in the zone.
Right.
Some people will say, you know, they're tapping into the energy of the universe. Other people who are religious, they may say that they're blessed or being blessed. But clearly, there are some people in the world who seem to have so many gifts given to them that it defies the theory of randomness, so the randomness of the world. So you have to say to yourself, gee, they're doing something different to keep themselves in this zone where good things keep coming to them. A lot
right.
of people like to chalk it off to luck, which once again brings back in the randomness. Is luck have anything to do with it?
Well, a lot of people may not have agreed with me with this, but I don't think there's any such thing as luck. If you find these people, if you look back at a lot of these people that live these kinds of lives that are, you know, seems to have lucky things happening to them, number one, they were probably raised in an environment where they were loved, you know, by their a very loving, nurturing home environment. That was the foundation for how they feel about themselves. And as they go through life, their lives are constantly in harmony. They feel good. They do the right thing. They help other people. They have a lot of empathy for other people less fortunate than themselves. And as you do this, you create this, I guess it's in touch with the universe, but good things start to happen to you. And somebody will say, that person is lucky. But I don't think it's luck. I think it's because their life is working. And I think I mentioned in that thing I wrote about hidden powers that there's a Jewish
proverb, right,
that says with each new child comes luck. And, I mean, this goes back 5,000 years, you know.
But you remember, they were really trying to promote offspring when they said that, convincing people
that,
hey, I'm going to have a lot of luck. I'll have 12 kids, you know.
Yeah, but with, and you know, what I maintain is that, and you really see this in sports so clearly, you know, like an athlete all of a sudden has a new baby, a quarterback in the NFL, and he goes out and, you know, has one of his best games ever. And so I think when you have a child, you know, assuming you want that child, and you that child puts your life in harmony. You really feel good. You're happy. You and your husband, or you and your wife, are very happy, and good things start happening to you. And if
I'm sorry to say this, and I know my listeners are probably gagging, but I think it comes back to love. I think it comes back to love. You know, I think that love is the strongest power. It really, really is. Love
Absolutely.
Has changed. Love has changed the direction of fate in history, and
yep.
and as equally as hatred, which is diametrically opposed, same amount of energy but in the opposite direction, has also done the same. But I think that when you have a child, you once again experience true unconditional love. This child will love you forever, regardless of what you do or don't do, because they are part of you. And so I really think that maybe the Yiddish proverb really should have said, with each new child comes love, because that's really
true.
What and that love will bless your life or give
right.
you things, you know.
But that's absolutely right.
Because luck once again is considered fortune caused by accident, and it comes back to the randomness of
right.
the world. And clearly, when you look at some people's charmed lives, you see nothing random. You see successes and happiness and blessings and gifts all
throughout.
Someone
in their life who loves them unconditionally.
And they, you know what? But Marv, I think you receiving love may be a positive, but I think it's performing love. I think it's loving that really is where the greatest energy is. That's in my own personal experience. We have to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to pick this up with Marv Fremiman. We're talking about the power within. When we come back, we're going to really start discussing the power within. Stay tuned.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com, the best supplements in the universe, are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
My guest
this hour is Marv Fremiman. Hey, Marv.
How you doing?
Good, good. And Marv, do you have a new book coming out?
Well, you know, I have there's a publisher that's looking at it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Roman and Littlefield, but they've got a book called The Psi Factor, PSI, which is Psycho Self Imagery. And I just wrote him a note the other day. I thought, I'm not sure if that's a good title, or maybe we should call it Hidden Powers, you know, because it's basically about how we create what happens to us in our lives based on whether or not our lives are in harmony.
How is this different than The Secret? You know, The Secret has really made a big impact, and a lot of people who have seen The Secret don't manifest the same results in their own life. Wonder why. But anyway, how is this different?
Well, The Secret says that she wrote about the law of attraction, you know, that when you attract things, and I maintain you don't attract them, you create them from within. In other words, you actually create things in your life, you don't attract them. But she had, you know, there are a lot of therapists who kind of panned that book because they didn't like it, because she recommended, like, things like if you wanted to have a, you know, wanted to buy a new car, go out and borrow $50,000 and buy a new car, whatever you want to do, and because don't worry, the money's going to come to you. And I said, excuse me, that's not the way it works, you know. Now, if your life's in harmony, if you're really happy, there's a possibility that could happen. Who knows? But I mean, that's not, you know, a lot of therapists were saying, well, people were getting themselves in a lot of difficulty because they were going out, you know, following her advice. And she, by the way, I just found out recently, she just bought an $18 million home out in Santa Barbara, California. So it's been very good for her.
Yeah, but exactly. It's been very good for her. That doesn't mean that it's working for everybody else.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that an expression I heard one time, which I wrote about, is said children who are loved grow up to love themselves. And from my perspective, once you love yourself, then you're able to love others unconditionally. But you have to love yourself first, and that's what comes from being loved as a child, you know.
I guess what it comes down to is, how do you effectively make a child feel loved? I think all parents love their children, but that doesn't mean that the children feel loved. So what are the attributes of a parent who conveys to their child that their child is loved?
Well, if a child doesn't feel loved, the parents are doing something wrong. They may say they're loving them, because if they're loving their child unconditionally, the child will feel loved. I've never seen a situation where parents love their children unconditionally and the children didn't feel loved.
But we have a lot of people who have very low self-esteem in this world, and I can't believe they all come from households that are where they felt unloved.
A lot of them start, you know, for some reason start keeping things bottled up. And that's a quick way to lower your self-esteem. I mean, not to, you know, be honest with your feelings. But I think that there's a old Hasidic story about a Hasidic rabbi where this couple came to him and said, Rabbi, we're having problems with our son. You know, he's just wild, and we've loved him, and we don't know what the problem. What should we do? And he looked at him, and he kind of stroked his beard, and he said, "Love him more."
Yeah, love him more. Okay, I think part of the problem in today's society is that parents mistake monetary gifts and belongings and things for love.
Absolutely,
and that's a real problem because I grew up poor. I mean, we lived in a 3-room apartment in Brooklyn, and my dad was a truck driver, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And I got one thing for Christmas every year, and it was never about money. It was never about gifts. But unfortunately, I see a lot of families today who feel that in order to qualify love, you have to be constantly buying your children cars and gifts and sweet 16 birthday parties that worth $100,000 and so on and so forth. And this is very misguided. I don't believe those children feel loved at all.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, children, I mean, if you really love your children unconditionally, they know it. And buying them gifts doesn't it. I grew up in a very poor family myself. And my parents, I was blessed because my parents loved my brothers and me unconditionally. I mean, I was very, very lucky to, you know, not lucky, but I was blessed to have grown up in that kind of an environment. But there are a lot of people that don't. And, you know, people out there today in the society we're in, kids need attention. You know, they need time to be spent with them, take them. I have a daughter who just had a new baby. She lives in Mexico City, and she said, you know, I'm concerned living down here that I need to do things that my children will have memories like I had, you know, because we used to take them to dude ranches and we do all kinds of things. And so that's all part of being loved, you know, doing activities together, families together. And kids know if you love them or not. I mean, you can't kid them, you know, just like coaches. You know, players know if a coach loves them. And if a coach does love them, they're going to play their hearts out for them.
But then why do we have so many people troubled in this world? And I understand what you're saying, if they're suppressing something, but could it really be just everybody is holding back their true feelings, they're betraying their true self, and this is why there are so many people not achieving their true life potential?
Well, yes, I think, you know, it's really interesting. I think a lot of people keep things bottled up, and, you know, they don't want to embarrass themselves, they don't want to reveal their really true feelings, but yet by bottling those things up, that's affecting how they feel about themselves, and they start to think negatively, and all of a sudden bad things start happening to them, and then they say, well, my, you know, they start seeing everything negative, and they say, well, my parents really didn't love me. Well, you know, maybe the parents thought they loved them, and maybe they, and later on, that same kid who's maybe 15 or 16, when he gets to be 40 or 50, he says, you know, I, looking back, I guess my parents did love me. So
usually, you know, when you realize it, and it's unfortunate that it takes this long, when you have your own children, your relationship with your parents really comes into perspective very quickly.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's true.
You realize when you start doing for your own children, you start to realize, wow, my parents really went above and beyond for me. Wow, look at this. You know,
most parents, I mean, they mean well. Some parents just are, they have grown up in a family where maybe they weren't, you know, they weren't loved as much as they would like to love their kids. But it's the old story of the acorn not falling far from the tree. But I think, you know, I've always maintained that high self-esteem is transferable from generation to generation, just like DNA, and low self-esteem is transferable from generation to generation, just like DNA. So when you see a lot of times kids who are negative and they're unhappy and everything, that usually they come from a dysfunctional family, and their parents came from a dysfunctional family, and their grandparents came from a dysfunctional family. And so that transfers itself until somewhere along the line somebody intervenes and says, hold it, you know, you don't have to be this way. And that's a lot of times where there's a spouse involved, you know, and that spouse or a professor or a coach or someone helps them change their lives.
You know, it's funny. I found myself with this divorce in the family court arena. And quite frankly, I believe that in society today, the judicial system has no place dealing in family matters. They really don't. It's just so foreign to me that a judge can preside and dismantle a family, and with absolute jurisdiction, and cast the family apart like some cluster of asteroids traveling in opposite directions, never to meet again. It's a sad, sad state today. What's going on, especially in the United States, because the family court system is a business, and the more people they can get in the doors, the bigger they can become, the more tax dollars that they can demand, and the business grows and grows. That's how they grow their business. They grow their business by getting more people involved, and they create legislature that makes it easier to destroy the family in this day and age. And the family is really threatened in the United States. I predict that our children are not going to rush into marriage after seeing what happened to their families and their parents being destroyed. But with that being said, what role do you feel when it comes to children? What role do you feel, if any, should an outside entity have in having parents treat children a certain way, short of a physical abuse I'm talking about?
You know, you've touched on something. I actually wrote a book about this a long time ago. I interviewed about 50 guys who had gone through divorces, and they had been divorced by, I guess, what you would call them pseudo-feminists. You know, they were very strong feminists until they got into court, and then all of a sudden, you know, they started, their tear ducts start working. And
I know what that feels like.
But it goes the other way too, you know. I mean, after I wrote the book, why somebody said, "Well, you ought to write the women's point of view." And I said, "You're absolutely right. There is a women's point of view, you know, where husbands, treated them badly and so on." But I think you're absolutely right. The courts have gone through. In fact, there are a lot of, you know, these organizations have sprouted up around the country. There were a bunch of them when I wrote that book about, you know, fathers against divorce. And it was, there are all these fathers' rights groups, because you get into a court and the judge says, well, you know, I'm going to award these kids to the mother because mothers are better, you know, take care of it. Well, that may not be true at all, but they don't know what to do because they don't know the true facts. And the lawyers, of course, have an adversarial relationship. I mean, they are fighting back and forth, you know.
And it's about, you know what? It's about human destruction. These attorneys, it's all about destroying a human being. It's about totally annihilating another person, regardless of how that's going to impact the rest of their lives or how it's going to impact the children. And it's a sad situation. And this country's in real, you know, someone once said you can always, tell the quality of a country by the way it treats its animals. Well, I'm going to go a step further and say you can always tell the quality of a country by the way it treats the families in that country. And this society does not treat families well any longer. I want to bring up one other point, then we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk about what you're doing nowadays. How important is mindfulness? We get into this groove sometimes. We don't even realize that we're angry. We know that feeling gratified, feeling love will help propel us to ride the wave, so to speak. But we don't pay attention to what we think most of the times. These feelings just override and we just go with it. How important is mindfulness in this whole process?
Okay, let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay, there you go. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, Marv Fremdeman, how important is mindfulness?
Now, exactly what do you mean by mindfulness?
Well, paying attention to your thoughts. You know, it's very, you know, we talk about the power of intention. We talk about the power of these thoughts and how they can actually manifest the things in our lives. If we walk around and we're grumbling and we're angry and the music in our heads is angry, resentful music, you have to stop it. But in order to stop it, you first have to recognize it. What I found the greatest challenge was last year with my transformation of the way I think was, there's nothing else that we do in our body that goes continuously like our mind. Even breathing, there's a pause in between. Even your heartbeat, there's a pause in between. But your brain is always working. It's always thinking. I don't know that this is necessarily good. That's why meditation is so important. With that being said, it's very easy to be walking around, you know, bitching and moaning inside your head, not recognizing it, just doing it because it's become so accustomed to you that you just do it. How are you going to manifest anything good if you're letting your brain run away with all these negative thoughts. So the first step has to be, wow, I'm thinking negative thoughts.
Right.
Then you can go, I think I'll change that.
You know, it's the I've forgotten the doctor who does a lot of heart work with heart patients, but he came up with this phrase, as you think, so you become. What you think about intensely is what you begin to manifest in your life. And he was very big. He still does a lot of it with visualization.
Is it DeBakey?
No, not DeBakey. I'm trying to remember his name. But I've seen him on national television. He's got a, I think he's associated with a hospital out in the northwest United States, I think. But you know, it's funny because you mentioned meditation, and I did TM for about 13 years. And have you ever done TM?
Yes, I'm a probably 17-year student of TM now.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, you know, I developed a meditation program for a lot of the athletes I work with based on a mantra, not using, you know, TM, you have to keep your mantra private. You can't do that. But I use the word Om, which the, you know, the Beatles made popular. But you, where you see the word go down beneath the ocean, you know, in a bubble, and then the word appears, and then you focus on that, and you don't block out negative feelings. And a lot of times, I always recommend to people, you know, if they're having a lot of negative thoughts, they should start to think about meditation. It's kind of, it's like, as you know, Pavlov's dog.
Right.
It takes time to program your brain. You can't just all of a sudden start meditating. But I've taught this to marathon runners. You know, when they hit the 21st mile, the wall, all of a sudden they close their eyes and they see the mantra, and it cuts out all the, blocks out all the pain. But you can block out, you know, negative thoughts too, I mean, by meditating. You don't allow them to set. They come through and they move right on through, you know. And so, but the fact that you've done that TM, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Now, TM had a very powerful effect on me, a very positive effect. And I'm not suggesting people go out and do TM, but I mean, there are ways to meditate, you know, that you can actually. In fact, I could send you something if any of your reader of your listeners want to. You can send it on to them.
If you send it to me, I'll put it up on our blog so people can. Because
okay,
I'm
right.
A big proponent of meditation. I think that it's very important to silence the mind once in a while. Like what, because of what I said a second ago, that the mind just runs off on its own. And, you know, one of the things that I think about babies, when we're infants, I don't think we're constantly thinking. I think that there's periods of time, long periods of time, where our brain is inactive. Mm-hmm. And then we become, as we mature, and probably as our vocabulary grows,
mm-hmm.
We then start to assemble thoughts, and then we assemble thoughts constantly.